gmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. My name is Bob Arthurs, and happy Cinco de Mayo to you. I was just talking to Paul about that, and he's like, "That's your favorite holiday?" And I said, "You know, it's right up there with one of them." I said, because I love Mexican food. Tacos around for everybody. So pray that you are having a great day and that you are enjoying and celebrating the freedom that you have in Christ Jesus. Today we want to say thank you to the folks of Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. I'll repeat that number again here in just a moment. If you're in the central part of Brevard County and you need someone to come out and get your air conditioner up and working and operating the way that it should be, call the folks at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, and they will get you fixed up. You will appreciate dealing with them. They can solve problems very quickly. They do repairs, they do new installations, big units, little units, split systems, mobile home units. I can't even describe all of the systems that they have expertise in. And so I want to encourage you, give them a call. Again, if you're in the central part of Brevard County, 321-759-3284. And that would be greatly appreciated if you told them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So yesterday we were in Psalm 25, and we were looking, I'm sorry, that wasn't Psalm 25, it was Psalm 33. Got my eyes looking on the wrong item there on my notes. Psalm 33, and we talked about how God loves justice. God loves justice. Well, you're going to find that that statement not only occurs once, but if you turn over to Psalm 37, we're going to work our way through this psalm, so it might take a little bit longer. But you are going to find that God loves justice in that passage as well. Verse number 28, for instance, says, "For the Lord loves justice." Okay? So when I read that, I understand that's not an opinion of David. That is a fact. God loves justice. So we're gonna be moving through portions of this. I'm going to read the first eight verses to get us started here today. Verse number one, "Do not fret." Excuse me, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm." Okay? So before we start looking, this psalm has a tremendous action plan if you want to see justice manifest in your life. But as I was preparing and was studying this passage, I noticed that there was a phrase that was repeated three times in the first eight verses. In verse number one, it says, "Do not fret." In verse number seven, it says, "Do not fret." In verse number eight, it says, "Do not fret." That means that you and I are not supposed to worry, okay? In verse number one, we do not worry because of evildoers. In verse number seven, we do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. And last, it is a warning. It says, do not fret. It only causes harm. Did you know that worry and anxiety can actually do you damage? Okay. You need to, when it says do not fret, I believe that there is a mindset that we can have that would be greatly helpful to us, and that is this. Can I control that situation? A lot of worry has to do with things that are outside of the scope of our capabilities. For instance, I do not necessarily do all that well as a passenger in a car. It's probably a genetic trait. My father doesn't get along well as a passenger in a car. My son, I don't think, gets along well as a passenger in a car. There are some people, they can just sit over there and enjoy the ride. And, you know, for me, I'm always looking for the things that maybe have escaped, you know, like there's a broken down vehicle up here. Whoops, they're hitting the brakes over there. There's a deer along the side of the road over here. And so I'm always on the lookout. But did you know that in not one car that I have ever been a passenger in, have they given me a steering wheel or a gas pedal or a brake pedal that would help me to control that situation? So it doesn't do me any good. And so sometimes when I have been the passenger, people would make statements like the kids of mine would make statements like this: Dad, you're making me a nervous wreck, you know? And so I would just have to sit there and try my best to put my confidence in their driving capabilities instead of my ability to control it. Don't fret. Well, what does that look like in the spirit realm? Well, we don't fret because of evildoers. It's not that we are not concerned about them. It's not that we are not concerned about their actions. It is just that it is beyond the scope of our jurisdiction or our authority. If there are people who are doing evil, then those that are in authority over them are going to step in, or God himself is going to step in and deal with that situation. David knew what it was like to have people who were doing evil who were trying to do him in. And so when he says, do not fret, do not worry, that means he's got personal experience in knowing how to resolve that situation in a glorious manner. He had a command from God. He had an anointing from God, and God was going to bring it to pass. So do not fret because of evildoers. What's the next part? Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. There are people who live by an ungodly standard. There are people who, in doing so, they never seem to have a health crisis. They never seem to have a financial crisis. They never seem to get laid off from their job. And it appears that they are prospering at every level. And you look around at you know, the righteous, and they may not be enjoying the same luxuries at that point in time as that person does. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. There was a time when I was getting into my automobile. My automobiles have been an eclectic mix. My automobiles have tended to be, which is the best used car that was available to me for my budget. And some of them ended up being long-serving, you know, blessings in my life. Others of them cost a great deal of money to keep them going. Not a big fan of those. But I could look around at people who claim to be Christians who never, you know, supported a church, never attended a church, were living as if there was no inclination in their life of having any relationship with God, and they were driving brand new vehicles, and I mean, it just seemed to everything was going wonderfully. But it doesn't always stay that way. See, the truth of the matter is one day we are going to be held accountable as to whether or not we prospered in God's way or if we prospered in our way. The third thing that it says here that we do not fret about, again, this is in Psalm 37, verse number 8, is do not fret, it only causes harm. Anxiety can impact your breathing. It can impact your heart rate. It can impact your ability to sleep. It can impact your digestive system. And it only does harm. Prayer accomplishes things. Worry doesn't have any benefit at all. And most of what people worry about never comes to pass anyway. It's irrational. So, you and I, we cast all of our cares upon God because He cares for us. We can rest assured in the competence of God. So let's look at what it says here. There is a great deal of instruction, practical steps that we can get to that are going to impact the justice that of God that operates in our life, in our family, in our church, in our community, and in our culture. So the first thing that I want to talk to you about, it's not the first thing that you would read like in verses 3 and 4, but it's first thing I want to talk about, and it says, commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. So what did we say? Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Commit your way to the Lord. The Bible says that God orders our steps. He directs our path. He tells us what to do. He tells us the motive behind our actions. He tells us when to do it, how to do it, and provides everything that is necessary when we do it. Are you living a life where your way is committed to God? Because if you commit it to God, then don't reach back up and say, oh, I'm going to take that back. I'm going to do it a different way. I don't like the way this journey is going, so I'm going to adjust the course. I mean, never one time have I been tempted to get up from my seat during a flight and say, you know what, I don't like the heading that we're going, and I think the pilot just needs to step aside and let me fly the plane. You don't want me flying a plane. You know why? I can't fly a plane. And so when I became a believer, I said, God, I want to commit my life to you. I will go where you want me to go. I will do what you want me to do. I will say what you want me to say. And I meant that. There are a lot of people who are terrified to make that statement. There was a professor that I had in Bible college. She said that one particular district or one particular state had pretty much excluded her from coming to preach to their young people. And it was the state that her and her husband, before he had passed away, had served in, had pastored in. And the reason was when she went there, God was convicting young people and was challenging them, and they were saying yes to the call, and some of those people were saying yes to being missionaries in foreign countries, and it made moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas upset that they weren't going to get to see their kids. And so they had a way that they want to do it, and they said, this lady is preaching in a manner that means we're not going to get our way. Well, I want you to know something. Life is not about me getting my way. Life is about me learning to do life God's way. God's ways are higher than our ways. God's ways are more just than our ways. I tell people that you don't want me in certain positions because my inclination in that position would not be nearly as passive, nearly as diplomatic. We would get results. You know, now here's something that I will say. In case you wonder about the dysfunction that we see in Congress and the contention that goes on for decades and centuries and hundreds of years in some places, is because there are fundraising capabilities that exist whenever a problem still exists. And if that problem was to go away, then all of a sudden that funding would go away as well. So the way that they continue that funding on both ends of the spectrum, you know, in politics, whether it's a D or an R, in the Middle East, whether it's Jewish or Palestinian, and you know, and even in a sense, research. There's a story that said that there were some researchers, and they came in, and one of the researchers said, "I found the solution to the problem." And the more experienced researcher said, "No, you didn't." And he said, "Yes, I did." And the more experienced guy said, "If you found the solution to the problem, all of the grants are going away." And the person who had found the solution to the problem said, "I think we are getting very close to finding a solution to the problem. We need to commit our way to God and do it His way." And, you know, God's ways are better. Forgiveness is better than revenge. Holiness is better than living life as a wicked person. Okay? The quality of life as a believer is better than the quality of life as an unbeliever. So commit your way to the Lord. Now, the second thing that I have written down, you will actually find up in verse 3. You will also find it in verse number 5, and it says, trust in the Lord. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. And so I believe that it is a very monumental milestone in a believer's life when they have come to that place where they can say, I trust God. On your currency, it says, in God we trust. But society is more and more getting away from in God we trust to in gold we trust. And that always causes a problem because God is not going to be subservient to any other idol. Idolatry in the New Testament is defined as greed. So, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Here is the thing. Trust is based on my experience with God, or my trust is based upon His word. It is based upon His track record, His character, There's a lot of ways to develop trust. My obedience to God should be because I trust him, not just because he has taken the time to explain every detail and circumstance to me in my life. A lot of people don't trust God until they know every step of the way. And I will tell you, a lot of times, if I had known the steps of the process, it would have made the trusting factor more challenging. If he had said, "Hey, I'm going to make you the pastor of a church that has no money in the bank. I'm going to make you a pastor of a church that you know has very few people in it, and you're not going to have anybody there that's going to be able to help you for quite some time. And by the way, the facilities are not stellar. That looks different than saying, God, I trust you." Okay. So when people told me, "Hey, there's no money in this church," I said, "That's okay. I trust God. He's got all the financial resources that we need." "Well, that church can't keep any people." "Well, that's okay. I'm not looking for the church to be able to keep people. I'm looking to God who is able to do that." So I want to encourage you, trust God. So you commit your way to him and you trust him. You trust him that he's going to be there with you. You trust that he knows what you have need of before you even ask. You trust that he is fully aware of the enemy's plans and the enemy's schemes. You trust that his presence is going to be there with you and that he's going to be faithful to his word. And you trust that he's always been victorious and he's going to come out victorious again. Trust in the Lord. You find that all throughout the Word of God. The next step is that in verse number four, it says, "Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness." I have a feeling that this is where we're going to stop for today's program. We got a little over 5 minutes left, but when I was preparing to come in here this morning, this was the passage that I really, really enjoyed spending some time. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. There needs to be a greater level of abiding where God has placed you. There needs to be a greater level of abiding or remaining or dwelling where God has placed you. Now there are reasons for transition. Okay. You can transition when God has said, "Okay, I need to relocate you." I've had a number of people in the military, and they were in Brevard County not because they wanted to be in Brevard County, but because the military had assigned them to Brevard County, and the people who assigned them here eventually would assign them elsewhere. So they knew where. Or the command system knew where they wanted their skill set to be in operation, where their level of promotion was, or where their skill set was going to improve. So there were reasons why they were assigned where they were for the season that they were. And so during that time, you dwell there, you serve there, you thrive there. But there are a lot of people who are constantly taking God's role upon themselves and saying, "This is where I'm going to go here." So in the New Testament, it says, "I'm going to go to this town. I'm going to make this amount of money. And once I'm done there, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that." And they never give any consideration. Where does that fit in God's scheme of things? So as a pastor, I have I've had people through the years that have come to me and said a lot of things. Okay, Pastor, we're leaving. Here's one of the things that I always listen for. Okay, they're relocating to another area. Okay, here's one of the things I listen for. God spoke to us and said, we are to move. And so we're going to go to this area. A lot of people make decisions on relocating about family and things like that. So if you haven't prayed about it, you should be dwelling. You should be abiding. You should be remaining. This concept of abiding in Christ made a huge difference in Hudson Taylor's first failed missions trip versus his second missions journey, which was revolutionary. Okay, here's the last truth that we're going to talk about as we're getting out of here today. Feed on His faithfulness. Feed on His faithfulness. If you want to be talking about justice, you're going to see that God is faithful. God is faithful to who He is. We should be faithful to who God has made us to be. Feed on His faithfulness. What is it that you are constantly listening to? Is it talking about how horrible the world is or how faithful God is? What is it that you are watching? What is it that you are reading? What is it that you are feeding on? What you feed on makes all the difference in your demeanor, your inclination to the things, the challenges that come up in life. If you're constantly feeding on all of your horrible luck, then guess what? You're going to fixate on every bad thing that ever happens to you. But when you are feeding on the faithfulness of God, you are going to say, great is your faithfulness, O God. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. When you feed on God's faithfulness, every day you are going to see the faithfulness of God. There's a scripture that says, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. And so I encourage you, feed on the faithfulness of God, because what it's going to do is it's going to manifest faithfulness in your life. You know what the Bible says is one of the hardest challenges? Finding a faithful person. Feed on the faithfulness of God. Be that faithful person that others want to be. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Fear is the Lord Jesus.